Sup guys, welcome to this podcast only special episode, looking back at the best kicks of season 13.
Oh no, is it going to be like those times on Friends when they just lamely linked up to old scenes as an excuse for a whole episode?
Quiet Murphs, in your case one of those scenes is your terrible homeless figures.
Well Tish, being so fit, I'm well known for doing the 5k in quick time, and in less than 2 years in cabinet, I've managed to reach 10k homeless in record time. Stat!
Anyway, it was a season high on Brexit, the DUP, John Delaney, ATMs.
That letter to Kylie.
Ugh, facepalm. And a certain hospital / 2 billion euro hole in the ground.
# Simon Harris's fault. Ha. But cheers, Si, for taking the heat off me for a few months.
So, podcast peeps, thanks for listening all season. Mm-hmm. And don't forget the kicks will be back in October.
But don't worry, nothing will be fixed by then. So there'll be plenty left for a boot licking.
Lol, okay, no.
Totes.
Enjoy the episode. And so we begin with Westminster's handling of Brexit. This is from early February.
Wow.
But you can hardly tell because literally nothing changed since then.
Cool.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Good evening, this is BBC News. I'm Hugh Edwards, caught in a nightmarish loop, just like Groundhog Day, but without Andy McDowell. The top story tonight, Theresa May's latest Commons defeat, as she lost the backing of hardline Tory Brexiteers, led by child star of The Omen, Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Some have accused me of stabbing my right honourable colleague Mrs. May in the back. That's simply not true. These days, I stab her in the front. I stab her real good. Oh, Nanny, I'm tired. Dress me in my PJs.
Elsewhere, Theresa Maybot was sanguine about her defeat.
I absolutely reject the notion that this latest defeat undermines my authority. I haven't had any authority for months.
Do you have a plan, Prime Minister?
Yes, I do. A clear plan. I intend to run the clock down, dragging Britain closer to absolute disaster, in the hope that at the last minute, 300 MPs will suddenly change their tiny minds.
How can you defend your efforts at cozying up to Jeremy Corbyn, Mrs. May?
Error. It looks like you haven't upgraded to the full version of the Theresa May bot app. You'll have to pay £1.79 to continue, or to listen to a 30-second advert.
Meanwhile, despite it being increasingly obvious that Labour have the power to decide the fate of the withdrawal bill, Jeremy Corbyn is none the wiser and had this to weasel.
Let me be clear and low energy. As a proud Trotskyite, it's my policy never to have any power. The Labour Party's policy on Brexit has always been a simple one. We're absolutely for or against Brexit. We are proud to fiddle while the country burns in the hope that after the shambles of Brexit, we might finally win an election through no fault or effort of our own.
The leader of the opposition there, running the country into the wall for political gain. Brilliant. Meanwhile, Nigel Farage oozed out of the woodwork to announce a new party.
Yes, indeed. The people of Britain have had enough. The plain-talking, plain-speaking, red-faced, knock-kneed, pints-willing, coronary-having, plain people up and down Britain are sick of Europe, and it needs to be held to account. Now, has anyone seen my German wife? I needed to fill out my MEP expenses forms. Britain, yeah. Oh,
watch
whoops.
Out! Ah!
Don't worry, Brussels will pick up the tab. Yeah!
Finally, as Britain yearns over an imagined past, a debate has begun on the legacy of Winston Churchill, on whether he was a heroic racist or a villainous racist. To prevent the discussion becoming too highbrow, Boris Johnson entered the fray.
Although clearly drunk when he garbled a few snafus about European unity, he was a right all-round ledge bag in his day. But was he perfect? No. I'm ashamed to admit it, not once in his entire career did he ever have an extramarital affair. Disgraceful. Ipso chipsticks, tempus quavers.
Well, that's all we've got time for on episode 832 of the worst reality show ever made, Brexitland. This is Hugh Edwards, BBC News in London.
The committee is now in session. I would like to invite the FAI Executive Vice President, John Delaney, to speak. Thank you, Chairman. I have a short statement which I'd like to do in the form of song. It's called Joxer Goes to Leinster House. 'Twas in the year of 219 before an owl committee. I came down with my gang of clowns, a shower of Walter Mitties. It's a waste of time, I've done no crime, I'm the legend John Delaney. They'll have to dig me out like an ATM in Castle Blaney. The clubs are broke, but I'm your bloke who was on for 100 grand. I won't step down from being top clown of a neck to bait the band. Sunday Times, they asked about a loan. I told them where to stick it. I ran this town in the FAI because I'd a hold of all the tickets. Dippities, 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 dippities. There are 12 more verses, but unfortunately, I cannot finish the song due to legal advice.
You allow Deputy Kevin O'Keefe.
Oh, yes, that was a lovely sound there, John. And if you have any spare tickets going for your man, Rod Stewart, in Parkway Cave, John, send them my way, boy. Send them my way.
You can send them to me either, John.
You'll have your turn, Deputy Noel the Rock. Mr. Delaney, you had your hand up.
Chairman, I just need to go to the jacks.
Come on, yeah. Jack,
okay, you go to the toilet there. And in the meantime, let's hear explanations for the mysterious loan from the other FAI gobshites. HR?
Chairman, should I only start last week?
Accounts.
The dog ate the accounts.
Board member.
My granny's funeral was that day.
Very good.
Oh, great relief.
Welcome back, Mr. Delaney.
Yeah.
Deputy Breed Coppinger, Anti-People Solidarity.
Oh, no.
Mr. Delaney, the Armory Decent Skins, Grassroots, League of Ireland, Jumpers for Goalposts, Brown Sauce, Hazlitt Sandwiches Brigade, feel let down by the Prawn Sandwich, Carbon Hospitality, Fat Cat, Black Hat.
I can't answer that on legal advice.
It's a disgrace.
That's enough, Deputy Coppinger. Deputy O'Keefe again.
It would seem to me that someone above in Dublin is gunning for you, Mr. Trump, sir.
Have you a question?
Oh, yeah, it is about grants.
Go on.
What is a Grant Thornton?
Deputy John Delaney on legal advice can't answer that. Deputy Rock.
Yeah, football is important and people are very upset and we have an FAI which is destroying football and they are...
Listen, Noel, just text me and I'll sort you out.
What?
Premium level okay.
Yeah! Wow!
Deputy Michael Healy-Ray.
Chairman.
Who isn't even on the committee. Yeah.
Chairman, John Delaney is a giant among men.
Thank you.
True hero of the same generous proportions as Finn McCool, Mussolini, and my late father. I've walked the fields of Kerry with John Delaney, firing grants into every rabbit hole and ditch in the kingdom. The rhododendrons bow down before him, and I want to assure him that he will always have the mother and father of all welcomes in Kerry. Just looking at him in the flesh now, I need a fresh pair of trousers. I'm so overcome in awe for the man.
Thank you. Okay, we can all do with a comfort break after that.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Delaney, for gracing us with your presence.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Blatant bastard.
I ran this town in the FAI because I'd a hold of all the tickets. Deputies, 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 deputies.
Okay, Cabinet. All right, let's have some order. First of all, it's been a difficult week for Minister Harris. Thank you. The Occupy Simon Harris movement behaved disgracefully.
Yes.
Being kidnapped by those povs and held hostage in that awful house. Was it? Sorry, Taoiseach, I wasn't kidnapped.
What?
I wasn't. What? You mean you went there willingly to, like, Greystones? Well, yes, that's our house. That's where we actually live. Seriously? It's quite new. Cuiva and I bought it when we were married. OMG, that poor woman. We really aren't paying the nurses enough.
By the way, Si, dude, what's that thing that sticks onto it?
What do you mean? What,
I think it was stuck onto your house. I couldn't make it out in the photos online.
It's actually another house.
What?
Yeah.
Like, why?
It's a semi-D.
A semi-what? Sounds like something Willie O'Dea gets when he thinks of his quota.
Semi-detached Smurfs, for goodness sake.
Right. FYI, I only do detached.
Yeah, detached from ordinary people, Lolcano.
I don't get it.
Others. Anyway, there was that, and there was no way I was going to give in to the nurses.
But you did, boss.
No, Minister Ring. We reached a compromise. Totes different thing.
What do you mean, a compromise?
Well, the nurses wanted to be able to pay their rent for a bunk bed next door to an illegal fly-tipping site. And not have to work 22-hour shifts. And we agreed that if they were only in that bunk 2 hours a day, that wouldn't be in line with our productivity expectation of that bed bunk. So we've upped the productivity, which is a victory.
It still leaves us facing €100 million in cuts, though, to pay for the hospital.
Who said that?
Me. There he is.
Coveney, what are you doing here?
I
thought the only advantage of Brexit was that you'd be out of the country.
Well, what are we going to do about the hospital, Taoiseach, now? Are we dodging?
Kate O'Connell, you're not even a minister.
I consider myself Minister for Defence of Simon Coveney when he's not here. Like, come on, now give us an answer.
But I am here, Kate.
I didn't notice. Shite.
Hello.
BTW, great news on the housing front. Taoiseach, we delivered 4,000 social homes last year. All on target.
No, you're not. The Taoiseach promised 7,000.
And because we were 3,000 short, that left more cash to send to the hospital slash money pit.
Yeah.
Has that cash been delivered, by the way, Lord Ross?
No, the cash is delayed, Prime Minister, due to traffic congestion in that area. Since I became the Secretary for Transport, all the omnibuses and trams are sold out night after night. What a success.
Oh, dear.
Some nurses are even technically living on trams because their commuting time is longer than the gap between the shifts.
Lol, Lewis.
Again, what about the 100 million euro cuts?
They're not cuts. In the case of the A5 motorway, we're rescheduling that by 10 years because when you travel to Donegal, you go back 10 years in time anyway.
But boss, the North West needs the A5.
Don't worry, we are laying down the A5 immediately.
Ah, good.
Except it will be an A5 sheet of paper with a drawing of a dual carriageway on it.
Ah, for goodness sake, that'll blow away.
Yes, I'm afraid we didn't have the budget to laminate it.
We will also be reprofiling some other projects.
Well, I hope you won't be touching small businesses, Leo Hag.
Not with a barge pole, Heather. I'm all about big, shiny multinational tech firms with glass offices in the Docklands.
Yeah. Also, Sister Madigan couldn't be here as she had the same ass, but she asked that arts be protected from the cuts, hey?
Oh. Well, we poured literally hundreds of euros into the Irish film industry.
Yeah.
Yet Saoirse Ronan didn't get an Oscar nomination, and that cat-killing pav from Love Hate went to the BAFTAs in his pyjamas.
Yuck.
So that's definitely down for reprofiling.
What about me second cat lab in Waterford?
Reimagine.
And what about the children in my Department of Children?
Recategorised.
What about the flood relief scheme?
Re-envisaged. Anyway, enough of all this. Where's my skinny chai latte with almond milk?
Oh, it's been rescheduled, dude.
Very funny, Merce.
Yeah.
Seriously. Get my coffee now.
Ma'am, that's not even my job.
Reshuffle.
I'm on it right
no,
away, boss.
No, I'll get you back.
I'll leave you guys fight out among yourselves. Peace out.
Now, welcome back to Morning Ireland with me and the 16 other people who present it. It's 8:03, and coming up in the next hour is, well, almost exactly the same as the last hour.
Oh,
but we'll carry on.
Sorry,
what? Oh, I've just been told the show must end an hour early as someone did the rota wrong, and the sound crew are finishing at 8. That means we have to try and fit an hour's Morning Ireland content into 3 minutes, which, sadly, I think we'll be able to do far too easily. Let's begin, shall we? First, over to the newsroom for the news. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. The news is the same as the news we read less than half an hour ago. Back to you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. And here's John S. Doyle with what it says in the papers.
It says exactly the same thing in the papers as it did on the news bulletin that just happened, Brian.
Thanks, John. Now to discuss things in the US, I'll hand over to one of my 16 co-presenters, Gavin Jennings, say.
Thanks, Brian. Now, from whoever we could wake up in America, this report.
Donald Trump.
Back to you, Dobbo.
And now, our Europe correspondent.
Brexit.
The view from Northern Ireland.
Brexit.
Live now to the Taoiseach.
Hi.
Why is everything bad?
Brexit. Lol.
Excellent. It's 8:02. We can do this. Weather update.
Highest to lowest degrees, somewhere between -1 and 21 degrees high.
Now, since no major British politicians will do an interview with us, on the line now is an obscure backbench Tory MP.
Barely disguised disdain, Paddy.
AA Roadwatch.
Traffic everywhere.
Sport.
Man United comeback.
Levity. Right. Back to Brian with the headlines.
Nothing new has happened. Back to you, Brian.
More on that story from Northern Ireland.
Still Brexit.
Ad break. Welcome back. It's 8:01. Time for an unnecessarily aggressive interview with Gavin Jennings.
A new survey is out today on household waste. Professor Ferry joins us. What's new in these findings?
Well, first of all, good morning to you, Gavin.
Well, that's not the question I asked you.
I was just being polite.
Well, politeness is just a way of avoiding questions. And it's doctor, by the way.
I think you're being very rude.
And you're being very vague.
How dare you?
Why weren't the results of this survey out before now?
Well, it's a new survey.
But it's too little too late, isn't it?
We've literally just published...
That's all we've time for. Show yourself out. Brian.
Excellent. We did it. We fitted a full hour of Morning Ireland content into 3 minutes and we didn't miss a thing. So it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
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 And so between the headlines, the sport, the traffic, the weather, the chime checks, what it says in the papers, ad breaks and that bit of ham at 8:55, we only have about 3 minutes of presenting to do and even still, it takes 73 of us. So goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye.
It's 8:00.
Minister, I know what you're going to ask.
How can I simultaneously downgrade the government's economic growth forecast for the year while also promising 50,000 new jobs?
Indeed, Minister.
Well, allow me tinkle a few keys, because I only have a certain amount of music.
Music?
Allow me explain my fiscal policy. Eternal tax loopholes for faceless tech giants, treating big corporations like clients, doing their bidding as they pull our strings. These are a few of my favourite things.
What's the role of the IDA in all of this?
Made IDA butler to all multinationals, handing them cash grants, don't care where they stash them. Vulture funds swooping on golden wings. These are a few of my favourite things. When the forecasts show a slowdown, when I'm feeling sad, I simply make up some new fictional jobs, and then I don't feel so bad.
But Minister, there's terrible inequality in society.
The price of rent.
Housing.
But people are still spending, buying concert tickets at outrageous prices. Yep. Coffee and cocktails and expensive vices. Vulgar overspending, we're living like kings. These are a few of my favourite things.
But some people are still struggling.
A minimum wage puts tenants under pressure. Commuting for hours on affordable creches. Shafting the poor, oh what joy it do bring. These are a few of my favourite things. When the forecasts show a slowdown, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember our corporate tax. A 1% rate ain't bad.
Very good. Now, Minister, if we can ask a serious question now.
Of course.
Minister. Minister, how can you justify charging ordinary people more tax than tech companies?
In this life, one thing counts. What? Economic growth, large amounts. Budget surplus won't grow on trees. You've got to pick a pocket or two. You've got to pick a pocket or two, boys. You've got to pick a pocket or two.
He's very good.
But your funds pay feckle tax. You gotta pick a pocket or two.
Excellent, isn't it?
Really fantastic.
Why should Apple break their backs? Stupidly paying tax. Charge workers instead. Take the short off their backs.
Yes.
You've got to pick a pocket or two. You've got to pick a pocket or two, boys. You gotta pick a pocket or two. Cuckoo funds pay feckle tax, so you gotta pick a pocket or two.
Wait a second, where did he go? Where's my wallet?
My watch is missing.
You gotta pick a pocket or two, boys. You gotta pick a pocket or three. Ha
On this week's Room to Improve, architect Dermot Bannon has his work cut out for him as he renovates a bank near the border.
I suppose doing jobs in houses is one thing, but a bank job is just a different beast. I'm actually really excited about it.
Dermot meets Seamus, not his real name, and his acquaintances, a gang of self-confessed DIY anoraks who need this job done as quickly as possible.
Hi lads, great to meet you, and well done for starting at 2 a.m. It's a really interesting time to get, you know, really gives us a full day to...
Switch off that camera, are you with the guards or something?
Sorry, I can't really hear you, your hat has just actually fallen right down to your chin.
I said, are you with the guards or something? Why are you filming us?
You're gas.
What are you on about?
So how long have you lived here?
In the bank? No. We don't live here. We're just...
Minding it for a friend.
Right. So you're going to do the renovations for someone else.
Yeah.
And I see you brought your own JCB. That'll really help us cut down on the cost too.
Aye.
Did you borrow it from a friend or something?
Yeah, you could say that, all right.
Aye.
Now, in one sentence, can you tell me what you want to do here?
We're going to tear that ATM out of that wall, bring it to a safe house and cut it open with an anger grinder.
Yeah, and I know ATMs aren't exactly safe. sexy, but I think the grey, brutalist nature of the machine really makes it a statement piece in the middle of the big white wall.
What?
You know, I'd hate to see it go. Are you sure you want to?
It's definitely coming out, mate.
Right, well, let's discuss budget. How much have you got to spend?
We've 10 grand.
We got that there other one there in Derry the other night.
20 grand.
Great.
Dermot has some ideas, and just as he goes to phone his quantity surveyor, something happens.
Lisa, I'll call you back.
Oh my God, what's going on? Stop!
It looks like Seamus, not his real name, and his men have decided to go ahead with their plans without consulting Dermot. But how will our hands-on architect react?
Well, you know, guys, I'll admit I doubted you, and normally I wouldn't be this furious, but this is just wonderful.
More.
The open plan feel, the exposed brickwork.
Back.
It's like some kind of DIY guerrilla architecture. Well done.
Have it in the trailer. Go, go, go.
Go, go.
Run. Guys, where are you going? You've left your friends JCB behind.
The job has been done, but how will the owners respond? The bank manager meets Dermot at the scene.
Destroyed.
All right.
They've taken the whole lot.
Right.
They've taken the whole lot.
Calm down. Don't think about what they took. Try to focus instead on what they've given you. A wonderful open portal that creates a great flow, lovely space, lovely light between the interior and the exterior of the branch.
Call the guards.
Dermot was held for questioning for a couple of hours in a Garda cell, but was later released without charge.
You know, Garda, this cell could really do with some glass. I think it could do something to bring some light in here and cheer the place up.
And I get out of here before we are.
Oh, you're gas.
All right, we here at the DUP have called this press conference because
we have been on television in the last 5 minutes, Arlene.
Aye, Sammy. So let's begin. You, the Free Stater.
Tommy Gorman, RT News. By all accounts, Mrs. Foster, Theresa May's visit to Northern Ireland this
week...
Well,
let me stop you there. I thoroughly refute that statement.
Well, I didn't actually finish asking my question.
Whether you did or didn't finish the question is immaterial. You're clearly a tool of the Sinn Féin, IRA, INLA, BNQ, TK7UP, Murder Gang, Free State Media.
Papist!
Theresa May visited us to beg us for our continued two-faced support, which is as tepid as the lukewarm tenants we like to drink while polishing our lambeg drums. Did we promise that support? Who knows? Does that undermine the Prime Minister? Who cares? Nigel, I believe you have something to add in your weak, permanently disappointed voice.
Yes, I personally used Mrs. May's visit to again state that using the Good Friday Agreement and the prospect of a return to violence is completely out of order.
Disgraceful! Yeah.
But some say the Good Friday Agreement is under threat and there is a real chance of the return to violence.
Yes, that may be, but it shall be a cold day in hell, or the Republic as we call it, before the DUP lets facts and history dictate how we feel.
Yes!
All right, generic UK reporter that can't be fired but annoyed your editor so much they sent you to Northern Ireland.
Yes, thank you. Can I just get Sammy Wilson's reaction to Donald Tusk's comments on Brexiteers for some comic relief?
You mean that perverted Eurosexual trident-wielding devil lover in his satanic Belgian hell castle of sin and blasphemy?
Very good, thanks for that. Mrs. Foster, all Mr. Tusk did was criticise those who campaigned for Brexit without a plan.
Planning is not the DUP way. We don't make plans. Plans are a papist invention, be it comp plan or family planning, when we all know the best kind of contraception in Northern Ireland is erectile dysfunction caused by shouting all day and too much red meat and gravy.
Yes!
Right, that should be enough inflammatory half-baked nincompoopery to ensure we make the news again. Final question, Eamon Molly.
Mrs. First Minister, isn't it time, ipso facto, to engage constructively with the various players of Brexit so that this Sophoclean tragedy nears its climax?
Listen, you, Ulster always has and always will be a colony for people who were too angry for Scotland ever since we stole this land from the Fenians in 1609.
Yes.
That's how we plan to keep it. We want no intervention from the Free State LGBTQIA plus minus hunky-dory Sidona Dublin government. And we will continue to support a hard Brexit.
Rock hard!
Regardless of the damage it will do to the economy, our constituents and our great union.
Yes.
We will support this union raw.
Yes.
That's the DUP way.
Yes.
Hi,
Do you like glitz, glamour, stars? Well, watch Netflix. But if your broadband is down, why not try Dancing with the Stars with me, Nikki Bourne, and generic female presenter? Last week, we saw Darren Kennedy have his last tango to Bus Aris.
I'm really sad to be voted off, but buy my products, buy my products, buy my products.
Thanks. Fred Cook caught a controversy when he chose a Michael Jackson song despite new claims of abuse. Yay, family entertainment.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson. So this week, I go to recreate Liam Neeson's lynching fantasies through dance.
Jesus. Also on the show, we've got your favourite smoky voice judge, Julian Benson and Hedges.
I thought it was a really refreshing break for the format to avoid having celebrities this year.
Yeah, and we're joined by nasty judge Brian Redmond.
That was terrible. I lacked energy, looked stale and tired. It was a pathetic effort, really.
Yeah, there's no one dancing, Brian.
Sorry, I was talking about Ireland's Got Talent.
Meow! That's Dancing with the Stars. And don't forget to tune in to all the spin-offs. RT Junior, Tiny Dances with the Stars. Can't Stop Dancing, Won't Stop Dancing. Shoot Me, I'm Dancing. Hip Operation Transformation with the Stars. And Resistance. We know that last one's on a dance show, but RT really need people to start watching it.
And because the Civil War was more crack than this show.
Danny, book clipping it all. Give us a second, will you? We've only just finished eating our dinner out of the boat of the car.
Tis true, and watching a repeat of Live at 3 and me phone.
Danny, why are you calling for the defence forces to be sent into Killarney National Park to control the wild deer?
The deer have taken over the place, they're everywhere. Tis like turning on RT and trying to avoid Amy Huberman. Tis impossible.
What are you proposing the army actually do?
Danny, well, I'm not a captain or a major or a four-star general.
No.
I leave it to the lads with the experience,
yeah.
But I wouldn't take anything off the table, no. Not even the nuclear option.
Well, Danny, they could start by giving them a pint of porter every day with their breakfast.
Yeah, so isn't it what Cam's carry lads down in the mornings?
Yeah. Are you aware what the Defence Force are actually responsible for? Is this not more a guard issue?
How do we know that? The army are responsible for marching in parades the odd time.
That's right.
And claiming they all got tinnitus in the back of a lorry.
In the guard, they are responsible for not bothering the good people of the kingdom trying to initially sink a last few pints in the pub at 5 in the morning.
5 in the morning.
5 in the morning.
But if they're not allowed in the park, where are the deer supposed to go?
Deer should only ever be seen in their natural habitat. On a plate next to a big pile of spuds.
Spuds.
In front of an American bin gouge for all their worth inside Killarney. And if those deer insist on staying out on the roads, let's put them to good use.
Yep.
They can pull cars home from the pub after their decent, honest rural owners have fallen asleep at the bar.
It's a good idea, Danny. That'd be a lifeline for rural Ireland.
Lifeline, yeah. And if the Irish Army aren't up to the challenge, then what about using the platoon of Marines who live in Shannon Airport?
The Yanks.
Who occasionally sneak out to Limerick for pints pretending to be well-built Yank businessmen.
And while we're at it, the Army needs to declare war on the terrorists that are still infesting Killarney.
What's that?
I'm talking about the Rhododendron.
The Rogi Bobos.
The Rhododos.
The Rogi Doodos.
That's close enough.
Up the kingdom! And die your share for T-shirt!
Yeah. RT News during a slow week. A very good evening to you. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have engaged in a week-long slagging match in the hopes that no one would notice they're doing no work. With more on this story is our political reporter that looks like every Midlands butcher's apprentice, Micheál Lehane.
Earlier this week, Leo Varadkar said Micheál Martin was always finger-wagging or sniping from the sidelines. What an orator. Mr Martin responded with a statement at the plinth, flanked by Fianna Fáil TDs, still on a high from their Ardèche and from drinking too much warm Sidona.
This latest jibe of the Taoiseach is childish,
yeah.
And an obvious attempt to provoke the party,
yes.
Which we will not, no. Under any circumstances, be falling for.
That's right, this stuck-up snoot or some cheek.
Yeah. I know.
He should stick to what he's good for,
right.
Eating pilates and dancing at Kelly Manor.
Well, he's right. This is senior hurling on the ditch now,
yes.
And I don't mean hurling up your guts after Fianna Fáil special cavalry in City West. That's mate and seven veg, by the way, with two types of chips.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, let's go for the jug. Ah, lad, you're totally out of shape.
Even Fianna Fáil's genteel Sandy Mount TD, Jamiriam O'Callaghan, got in on the act.
I'm personally very upset by the ungentlemanly behaviour of Mr. Varadkar.
Don't fucking mister him. No? Slag him. Got him, you posh getcha. Okay. Come on, got him now.
Leo is an unseemly so-and-so. Oh,
that's very weak. Come on, sledge him, you galloping string of apple.
No, I can't.
Stop crying.
Jeez, you're so useless, they wouldn't even make chicken nuggets out of you.
I want to go back to the law library now. Genuinely.
Fianna Fáil's tails are up, but they're coy when I mention the prospects of an election.
I don't think it would be very irresponsible to have an election now while the thing is going on. The Brexit baby is only teething.
So what about after Brexit, after that?
More Brexit.
Listen here now, the Brexit baby is after the strain it's nappy, and it'll have to be changed and burped, just like what we do with Baby Cowan after the spudge. Good man, Barry.
So there you have it. Micheál Lehane reporting on so little of consequence it feels like I'm working for her.ie, RT News.
Great 7-hour workout, Kylie. High five.
Yeah, as a 50-something-year-old, it's super easy to look like this.
Right.
I need to relax. Is it time for my weekly game of Scrabble with Salman Rushdie? Actually, there's a letter here, Miss Minogue, handwritten. I think it's from a young fan. It just came in this morning. Okay, let me see. Funny little harp on the paper. Oh, fancy stationery. I remember when I collected that as a child in the 60s. Let's see what it says. Dear Kylie, just wanted to drop you a short note in advance of the concert in Dublin.
I can't get you out of my mind, lol, because I'm your number one fan. I'm also a huge fan of Big Tom and The Prodigy, and I used to like LCD Sound System. Not so much anymore. Anyway, this might sound a bit Creepathon 2000, but I know you're staying in the Merion. If you look outside your window, that is, if you can actually reach the windowsill, you can see my office. It's the one with the gym and the guy in the tank top pumping guns next to a framed Time Mag cover with his gorge face on it. Me! I'd love to personally welcome you to Ireland and just dying to get my pic taken next to you, because you're my idol. Also, when I get photographed next to tiny people, it makes me look like 7 feet tall. Anyway, let me know soonest. BTW, please destroy this letter and all copies, just in case, you know, I end up scarlet. Yours truly, Leo V. 40.
40-ish. Jeez, it's a bit full on, isn't it? I know, right? Would you like me to respond formally? What date is that concert on again? October. Let's just cancel it. It's probably safer. Say I had a throat infection or something.
My fellow Americans, my beloved sugar boobies, and Melania.
Ugh.
What a week it's been.
Bad news. Another body double of mine has fled.
Once again, I was victoriously defeated by Nancy Pelosi, nasty, nasty woman.
She's a hero.
I'm your hero, honey. I'm everyone's hero. Because after being fooled into keeping the government open by nasty Nancy,
ugh,
I'm going to get my own back and declare a national emergency to build the wall.
4 years he's been saying that. Still hasn't happened.
And for 4 years, you've been saying you've got a headache. Still hasn't gone away. It's a medical mystery. But yes, I am building the wall. Why? Because immigrants are horrible, horrible people.
I'm an immigrant.
Honey, you're the right kind of immigrant. You're white, you're beautiful, and you've very low self-esteem. Democrats are saying it's not a national emergency. Lies. It's an emergency because if I don't build the wall, the last few supporters I have will abandon me. What's a bigger emergency than that?
Healthcare. The dissolution of nuclear control treaties. The growing racial and socioeconomic disparities in America.
Quiet, honey. The men are talking.
Oy.
So we're finally building it, a big, beautiful wall from sea to polluted sea. Are the Mexicans paying for it?
No.
But folks, I tried everything I could. But no matter how badly I treated them, they wouldn't build a wall to keep me out.
It's a terrible idea.
Walls are great, just as the Chinese. They invented walls along with the myth of global warming. If global warming is real, why is it so chilly in my bedroom?
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
You rarely do, honey. Well, I gotta go because I'm bored and hungry, and tweeting is better than this because I could do it on the presidential crapper.
Ugh.
God bless you, God bless assaulting British cameramen, and God bless these indicted states of America.
United.
Why, what did I say? No collusion.
Ugh.
Now, this week, the French have been told to cut down on their wine drinking, which I imagine would be about as effective as telling a member of the Iowan Institute to cut down on their media appearances. But anyway, the French aren't alone. Irish women have been ranked among the top three binge drinkers in the world. Joining we discuss Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald.
Yes, hello.
And former Taoiseach and RTE's Brexit correspondent, Bertie Ahern.
How are you?
And me, Brendan Howland.
You're too far from the mic there.
Leader of the Labour Party.
Otherwise known as the margin of error, it has to be said.
Not fair.
Now, young Irish women, top of the binge drinking leaderboard. Yeah. I mean, we haven't won anything in a while. What's not to celebrate, folks?
There's nothing to celebrate here. The dysfunctional Fine Gael-led government is clearly to blame. Their policies are driving people to the drink.
Sinn Féin, not exactly a boozy party. I suppose they needed a steady hand to Bertie, where do you think the blame lies?
Well, I think it's obvious all toads leave back to Brexit. Young girls are feeding the uncertainty about breakfast as much as any of us.
But Bertie, why do Irish people drink? Is it because low self-esteem?
Again, I think it's related to the British referendum on Brexit in June 2020.
And everyone gets very patriotic when they're drunk. Huh. Isn't this going to mean more rebel songs? Mary Lou, you should be delighted.
Nothing delights me. We have to deal with incompetence every day.
Right.
Health. Housing, Ray Darcy with a chat show. Pass me a glass.
Open that bottle there. And Bertie, who are you to say what women should do? Are you being sexist?
No. I love women. Not too much, though. Just a completely normal amount. But to get that back to Brexit.
Right.
If Boris Johnson gets into number 12, the UK might end up with a no deal buckfast. Huh. Is there a glass of that going, by the way?
Yes, of course.
May I have a glass?
No, you may not. Ugh. Let's look at the positives here. I mean, having a drink is great, crack. We don't want the younger generation to turn out like those happy pair dry shit.
This is delicious. What vintage is it?
Eurospar.
I love the taste of free drink. Did you splash out and go for the 10 euro one?
No. Last thoughts, Mary Lou?
It's a disgrace. I blame the government.
Of course you do. Bertie?
If Jacob Rees-Mogg gets into power, there might be a hard Brexit for the Brits. And that would hurt our expats of angry foods.
Right.
Angry foods.
Let me open another bottle. This is from the emergency stash for when they make me talk to an actor. I went through a whole crate of this for Ralph Fiennes.
I'm actually quite thirsty.
No. Coming up after the break, Carl Henry gives us advice on our health, which we'll all ignore.
Sorry.
Tis me Hall here from Fianna Fáil Nua, the proud party of Middle Ireland, or at least middle-aged Ireland. Let's not forget the scandal about broadband lads, and then an absolute disgrace. There are fellas with internet so slow, they have to watch their dirty films on DVD. But like Kellen's kicks, we'll be back as a party in the autumn. We're confident now, we're calm, we're building, we're growing. We have stars like Dibbity Jack Chambers, who's still in his 20s, although most of his opinions are in their late 70s, let's face it. But the fact of the matter is now, in terms of for the last 8 years, Fine Gael has repeatedly failed to solve any of the problems that Fianna Fáil created. So let us back into power, because at least we're more crack when public services are going to the dogs, going forward.